ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Before continuing the discussion of pilgrimage, I am going to request whoever might be hearing this or might be thinking of sending me the latest conspiracy theory, not to do so. During the lockdown, devotees, and I suppose many others, are making a pilgrimage on the internet, wandering here and there, and finding out so many conspiracy theories. Please don't send any, either about coronavirus or anything else, or even if it's not a conspiracy, even if it's clear and plain and obvious, please don't send it to me, because I've got a new conspiracy theory. Listen to this one, that someone, somewhere, those bad people somewhere, those demons, are making all these conspiracy theories just to make us more confused. And the real thing, I told you already, it's those cats from outer space, right? We're all part of a big conspiracy to forget Krishna. And Maya is bewildering us. And we don't even know. So don't say, I mean, even if it's true, whatever the latest theory is, it's hard to say because there are so many different theories. What are you going to do about it anyway? I mean, even if there is a Norwegian plot to take over the world, what are you going to do about it? What am I sitting here going to do about it? Better chant Hare Krishna. As far as coronavirus, yeah, I can find out through conventional channels, more or less, what's going on. So thank you very much for... If you think it's really, really important and I really have to know, just trying to think what could be important enough that I wouldn't find out through ordinary means. You can send it to Sri Ramcharan Aravinda. He's the Sarvagya around here. He knows everything. No, only Krishna knows everything, but he's well informed about worldly matters due to his previous need to do so in his career. Now he has another career on pilgrimage back to Godhead. The last talk I gave about pilgrimage, I was talking about different aspects of pilgrimage, the actual walking to and coming back, austerities, prasadam, puja, yajna. These are different aspects. And last, and definitely not least, the devotion is the essence. This is especially for devotees. But any place we go to a holy place, we go in need. We go to present ourselves before a higher power, knowing that we can get something which we need. And we have to place ourselves in a certain kind of consciousness in order to link with that higher power. I'm talking in a manner which might sound somewhat impersonalistic, because this is the minimum level of understanding. Higher than that is to understand that powerful persons, but there are many people who don't accept that the Supreme is a person, even though they go to holy places, which are all dedicated to people, to Shiva, to Krishna, to Durga, to Ganga, or the holy place. In the case of the Ganga, it's the river is a person. Vedic culture is highly personalistic. there's a person behind everything and in everything. There is every tree is a person. Even you may say inanimate objects. But just like there are the deities of the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So nothing is separated from personality. But minimally, people understand there's a higher power, and they have some people of impersonalistic bent. They think that, well, the person represents the power behind them, which is true in the case of all deities except Krishna, who's the Supreme Person. But the impersonalist thinks that the impersonal is ultimate. So, but they need, and generally impersonalists are very puffed up. So, yeah, they're very puffed up. They think, I have realized something, I'm on a higher level. I'm elevating myself by my own abilities. I'm in knowledge, others are not. And so on and so on. But the most important thing is devotion. The most important thing in devotional service is devotion, not the service itself, exactly. If we pay someone, that's not the same as doing it from their heart, out of love. So simply they want to do it. If Sundar Nrisimha comes here and does some electrical work, and he does it as devotional service, if we call an outside electrician and pay him, he doesn't get the same benefit. He doesn't have the same attitude that I want to do it for Krishna. So there's a difference. Of course, most people go on pilgrimage not exactly for spiritual benefit. Mostly they don't have any clear idea of what is spiritual anyway. I mean, Hindus in general, they believe in reincarnation, but they don't take any effort to... They definitely don't think about it much and the implications of it. Because if they did, then Brahma Jignasa, then they'd come to the point of inquiring, what am I doing here? I'm working so hard, I've got so many aims and desires, and I'm going to die, and then I have to get born again, I don't know where I'm going to get born. And they prefer not to think. They prefer to be in Maya. So they don't know, and they're not very anxious to know in general. And they take this life to be all in all. As Yudhishthira told the Yaksha, or Dharmaraj in the form of a Yaksha, Ahani Ahani Bhutani Gachandiha Yamalayam Sheshas Tavara Ichanti Kimascharya Matavparam. What is more amazing that every day thousands and thousands, millions of living beings leave their body, especially it means humans, go to Yamaraj, they die. And those who didn't die today, they're making plans how to live on, and they think they don't take cognizance of the fact that they're going to die. They're not serious about it. So that's amazing, and especially if you consider that specifically what it said, Yamalayam, the place of Yamaraj, and every follower of Vedic culture should know what happens after death, because whenever anyone dies who they're closely related to and who's living within the vicinity, then part of the death ceremony up to the present day is reading from Garuda Purana, which tells about all the different things that happens after death according to what you do in this life, and it's mostly not very good. So it's a warning to live properly. But they don't take it seriously. And they're interested in material aims. Vimuharnanu pashyanti. They don't see, even though they're taking birth after birth after birth, they don't see pashanapina pashyati. They're fools and they don't want to see the reality. Truth hurts. Actually, truth is liberating. Satyameva jayate. Nanritam. Truth is liberating. Truth, by truth we can conquer over birth and death, but we have different ideas. Instead of going to Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna Yatra Partha Dhanadharaha Tatra Shriya Vijaya Bhuti Dhruva Nityar Matir Mama. Instead of taking shelter of Krishna and his devotee, the combination of whom, when they're together, there will certainly be opulence, vijaya, victory, morality, instead they go to Vijaya, goddess Durga, one of her names is Vijaya, and think by taking shelter of her I will be victorious. But the thing is, they don't understand, she conquers over you. You think you're conquering with her help, but actually she's chopping your head off. You've got all these hands. Oh, what will I take from this hand? What will I take from that hand? In the meantime, the other hand's coming and chopping your head off. So people go for material, to fulfill material desires. They're foolish, but they're pious at the same time. At least they have submission, enough submission. That's the beginning, to prostrate oneself before a higher power. And especially if one does so within the Vedic culture, that allows one to gradually become linked to Krishna. For after all, if we go to a temple of Durga, Ichana Rupam Api Yasya Chate Shtate Sa. Now that's what's the first line. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Eka Chayeva yasya bhuvanani bibharati durga ichana rupam api yasya chacheshtate sa govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. All this creation, maintenance and destruction of the material world goes on within her jurisdiction as the shadow of Govinda under his desire and order. So there's a clear connection. And even those who think that Durga is supreme, which is not incorrect from one perspective. Just like in a village, if you say the sarpanch is supreme here, that's true. It's only within a limited area, but if you don't know anything else, then that's true. And it's true for the village. And if you never go outside the village and you don't have any need to do anything else, then you don't need to know much else. The problem is that we do have to move on at some point in time. We may think, well, I'm just in this material world, so let me stay and take shelter, but we can't stay. We can't stay. We have to leave. We have to take another birth again and again and again. So even those who are worshippers of Durga, they know there's a connection with Vishnu. It's well known. Some take her as supreme. That's not exactly, it's not fully true. And they think Vishnu is subordinate to her. But they all know she's the sister of she was born as the sister of Krishna. If you know something, you should know. It used to be from Amar Chitrakatha. It used to be from people reciting the Puranas, and then it came to Amar Chitrakatha. And what do they do now to get? They read Devdutt Patnaik or something. They get completely messed up. With, you know, this guy, he's retelling the Ramayana with Sita fighting and all nonsense made up. Better they get from Prabhupada. Real understanding. But yeah, we're disturbed by Devdutt Patnaik and this Sadguru. That's how they write, eh? S-A-D. Sadguru. But it's always been there. It's nothing new. There are always people speaking against Vedic culture, even within the Vedic culture. Atheism, Buddhism, this kind of thing is there. So it's for the actual devotees, or those who are fortunate enough to be in contact with actual devotees, to speak the proper thing. So similarly, Shiva, there are so many descriptions of Shiva being supreme. You are time. Yeah, he is, in one sense, because time is the destroyer of everything. And he performs that function within this material world. We think of Shiva destroying at the end of the universe. But there are five types of pralayam described in the Bhagavatam. And one of them is going on at every moment. While we're sitting here, our bodies are growing older. In modern scientific terms, we'd say that cells are depleting, some cells are dying. So it's nitya pralayam. It's going on all the time. And then there are various levels of pralayam, the workings of time. Nothing stays the same in this world, up to the universal destruction. There, the destruction at the end of a yuga, at the end of the day of Brahma, the end of the life of Brahma, and at every moment. And the ultimate pralayam is going back to Godhead. That's the ultimate. So, people, they generally go on pilgrimage for material ends. They go to a tirtha not to cross out of this world, but to cross to what they think is a better situation within this material world. But being on the bank of a river, it's always dangerous because the river can flood at any time. You might be sitting on the bank of the river peacefully and crocodile jumps up. That's also there. Right in the middle of Baroda City, there are signs. You remember that? There are signs written in Gujarati with a picture of a magur. Magur is Gujarati for crocodile. So there's a river with all its all rough foliage right through the center of the city. Which river is that? That's Vishwamitri, maybe. Vishwamitri, yeah. And Mahi goes just to the side. And there's a sign there. We don't go to, because people like to go there. It's a natural place to go on pastoral or forest on the edge of the river. Don't go. Danger. Crocodiles. So rivers, they're nourishing, and at the same time, there's danger. And there's danger everywhere in the material world. So, really intelligent person crosses over and keeps on going. You don't stay. You've got somewhere to go. You cross over the river, you've got somewhere to go, not just to go to the other side and take photos from the other side. You might go on the Ganga in Varanasi and take photos from the... It looks very nice. I'm not sure if it still looks nice after it's all been destroyed, so many things. But you may think it looks nice. And then you want to go back again. But the idea is to cross over and stay over and keep on going. Otherwise, the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they don't know that there's something more than just crossing over. And then they come back. Aruya kritraina parang padang tataf patantyato narita yushmadangra. Because they don't want to go up to as far as Krishna's lotus feet. They want to get the facility of getting out of this material world, but they don't want to surrender to Krishna. So they stay there and there's nothing to do, so they come back. Better to get beaten than just sit around doing nothing. It's boring sitting around doing nothing, so at least if you're beaten, you can chat with your friends while you're doing it. And they're getting beaten too. This is called Maya. Most people, they go, they know, yeah. Mukti, yeah. Later. Most of them have what they consider a valid excuse. You have to be born in a Brahmana family. This is what Shankaracharya propagated. You have to be born in a Brahmin family. Then, as a male, then you can take sannyas, and then you can be liberated. Or according to some of his followers, dandagrahena matrena narayano bhavet. All you have to do is take sannyas, and you become narayana. But you have to be born in a Brahmin family, as a male, go through all the sanskars, and then you can become Narayan according to their understanding. Is Narayan liberated? Well, they also say he's in Maya, right? Because he has a form. That means he's not formless. So. Therefore, they're called Mayavadis. Mayavadi, Krishna Aparadhi. They're offenders to Krishna because they think that Krishna is also a product of Maya. And anything that you can see is a product of Maya because the ultimate is can't be seen, has no form, name, activities. Yeah, that's it. Just nothing to say, nothing to do, just consciousness, that's all. And consciousness of what? Nothing to be conscious of, just Brahman. And what is Brahman? Indescribable, unseeable, un-everything. And what does it come to? Nothing, actually. So it's like being in a coma. We can tell them that, yeah, you want a Brahman realization? Yeah, we'll just give you an injection and then put you to sleep. Actually, that's there in the Brahma Sutras, right? It's deep sleep, one goes to Brahman. It's like that. But again, one has to wake up. So people have a general idea that, yeah, mukti's there, but that's a long way away. In the meantime, I've got to pass my exam. That's the immediate thing. That's the immediate thing on my mind. I have immediate problems. It's all right for you sadhus to talk all these things, all big high philosophy, but immediately I need to do something. My shares are going down. The people dealing on the shares market, they do pujas to push their shares up. Is it some of them? On Diwali, they do puja to push the value of their shares up. No harm in trying, huh? Most people go on pilgrimage for openly earthly rewards, and they don't find anything wrong in that. If we condemn that as being foolish, but they think it's just normal. You want wealth, you want health, you want peace in the home. You want everything to be nice. Shubh lab. You'll see. Once you get north of Telangana, you'll see on shops written in Hindi script. I don't think it's done in South India. I wouldn't know because I don't read South Indian scripts. Shubh lab. And they'll have swastika and some lemons, some chilies. I don't know how the chilies got there because they're not indigenous to India. They've been around for quite some time. And this is all supposed to bring shubh, auspiciousness. And the practical result of auspiciousness, lab, profit. So what else do they want? Good health. Children, people used to want to have children. Nowadays having children is a burden, but previously they want to have children. Children, especially males. Getting their children married is a lot of anxiety. Nowadays you don't have to bother, they work it out themselves. Send them off to college. So people used to have faith in this and follow this, and still people have faith, but they don't follow all the rituals like they used to, which the idea is that you follow all that and then you get the result. Either in this life, or you may do it for a future life also. Older people, traditionally, in Vedic culture, they would retire from active life, turn it over to their older sons, the shop or whatever it is, and they just live at home and do some reading and going to the temple twice a day, reciting mantras and all this, with the idea of clearing off the karmic debt that I accrued in this life and get some good things going for me in the next life. So it's all calculated. It's and it's said like that. If you recite Gopal Sahasranama, this used to be a favorite of Marwaris, you get this result and that result and this result and that result. You know that? You're nodding your head like that? No? Okay. So it's very materialistic, and people just take that as normal. And all over the world, people take praying for material boons just to be, that's what you do religion for. What do you get out of it? Well, you get saved from eternal hell in Christianity, and then you go to heaven, and it's nice. Not sure exactly how it's nice, but they say it's nice. Don't know what you do there, or if there is anything to do. It must be pretty boring sitting on a cloud with a harp. Ding, 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 ding. There must be something better up there. God's version of Disney World. What's up there? One of the... I told this anecdote many times. One of the ex-archbishops of Canterbury, they get changed quite quickly. Archbishop of Canterbury is the probably the second biggest religious official in Christianity. Maybe the Patriarch of Moscow, but I think the Archbishop of Canterbury is head of the Church of England, which you may think, well, England's not very big, but he's also accepted as the head of the all the Protestants who consider themselves connected with the Church of England in places like also Ireland, Scotland, America, and so many places. Anyway, they turn over fairly quickly because they get generally get appointed when they're old and then they die. So he was asked, what do you want to do when you go to heaven? They presumed he was going to heaven. Although, if we look at the karmic record and all those animals he's been eating, we have our doubts about that. But anyway, he said, well, for the first 100 years, I will glorify God. Well, that's a long time, isn't it? 100 years? Phew. 100 years glorifying God. And for the rest of eternity, I will enjoy myself. All those things I couldn't do when I was the Archbishop of Canterbury, like going to pawn clubs and things like that. Difficult to get away with it when you're a priest. All those fantasies I can indulge. I don't know what his idea of enjoying himself, but you just get the idea how little they actually know and how far away from pure devotion is their concept of religiosity. And this is not just your in the street Christian. This is a big guy. He knows nothing. He has no idea about selfless devotion to God or who God is. No idea. They say Jesus is God. Then he had to die on the cross for us. God got killed. I don't know. It's a strange idea. Many strange ideas. Okay, but the whole idea is that you go there to get something. And religion in the world is, it's like that. What do you get? Even if it's mental satisfaction, it's all what's in it for me. Okay, I'll just say one little bit more. My experience, or the one place in India where I went deeply into the culture, where I was traveling for years in the villages and meeting people and learned my first Indian language there, was in Bengal. So another example from Bengal, Tarakeshwara, Shiva, I mentioned already, Shiva deity in West Bengal. Don't remember going there. Maybe we did. When I was first traveling in West Bengal in 1977, maybe we went there. But generally the Shiva places, they're not very good for distributing our books, which is why we're going to various places. So Vaishnav holy places are generally quite good, but not places of Lord Shiva. There was one Bhagavat Darshan, Bengali version of Back to Godhead magazine, which was a huge seller in West Bengal. Wherever we went in West Bengal, because of the picture on the back cover, it was that of Jarabharat with Kali and Kali killing all the dacoits who wanted to kill Jarabharat. That was a big hit. And Jarabharat there with his beard looks like, you can guess. I think they even reprinted that one. It was a big, they could put it on the cover again. And that would be a big hit. Hopefully the influence of you know who is going down, but it's a hard thing. It's not easy to kick it out very quickly. Anyway, the main Shiva place in West Bengal is Tarakeshwara. And you can understand from the name, Taraka means Tara, to cross over. So people, they like to go there because it's not just the name, but he has a reputation, the deity of Lord Shiva, particularly there. See, even just like we have Srinivas at Tirumala, And he's the same person as Srinathji in Nathdwara. And he's the same person as Shamasunda in the Radha Shamasunda temple or Krishna Balaram temple at ISKCON Vrindavan or the Radha Shamasunda temple in Vrindavan. It's the same person. But they have different moods and they reciprocate differently with people also. And people come to them with different attitudes. Now, everyone is an individual, obviously, but definitely the mood of people going to take darshan at Tirumala of Srinivas it's a somewhat different devotional atmosphere to that at Nathdwara or Pandharpur or anywhere else. So the Lord is the same person. He manifests himself in different forms in different places, what to speak of his different avatars, Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, Kurma, and so on. But they have different moods and they reciprocate differently. So this Tarakeshwar is one reason, the main reason he's very popular. Otherwise there are Shiva deities all over the place. Actually not in West Bengal so much, or East Bengal for that matter. Maybe there were previously more. But there's no, apart from this, there's no famous temple of Shiva in all of Bengal. Actually, there is a Chandranath in East Bengal. It's just on the border of Bengal, actually. It's just, if you go a little further east, you're in what's traditionally Burma. So it just is there on top of a hill. So Tarakeshwara. Yeah, especially people go for material boons. Curing diseases, that's a big thing. He's very good at that. And he reciprocates. There's a word in Bengali, it's not only in Bengali, it's a Sanskrit word, jagrata, means awake. So that word is used in relation to deities. If the deity is known as being very alive and awake and reciprocal, then the deity is commonly referred to in common parlance as jagrata. He's listening to you. He's taking interest in you. He'll help you, he or she, maybe she deity also. he can cure diseases. He can give you what you want. And here the attitude, people come, they want something, but the key is faith. Not so much devotion, because the devotion, in their mind, yes, but their understanding of devotion is very different to our understanding of devotion. Is the understanding, it's something like you see a dog comes around a little boy, a little puppy dog, and they're wagging the tail, and they want someone to look after them. So it's devotion and they want something. And we go to Krishna because we want him to look after us. But it's keeping a separate interest. So he can do the impossible. That's the understanding. People go to deities with the idea that what I can't do, I can't do it, but he can do. That's all. And sometimes even the astrologers, actually many times, they'll tell you, you worship this deity, you have this problem, you have to worship this deity. It may be the deity in general, you worship Buddha, Mercury, by getting such and such a stone and you do such and such a puja. Or it may be this particular deity, you go to this place and you do this puja, and this and this and that. And then he will... This is the prescribed system that you have. And different deities for different problems there. They can give solutions. When no one else can give solutions, then it's up to God. So that's why people go there. And I guess they're getting the result. Otherwise, if it didn't work, they wouldn't keep on going. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Finish means... yeah, we have a long way to go. Still. This is... I got through 4 paragraphs today. About half a page and four more pages like that. And then I have a section bigger than this. And maybe by the time it's all over, we can all go on pilgrimage. I think it'd be a nice thing to do when the lockover is finished. We can just go to, I don't know, Sholingor or somewhere. Sholingur. Somewhere. Maybe Namakal, just call devotees from all over and have a big kirtan. Take darshan. Maybe not Sholingur. I don't think I can walk up. So, how many steps is it? A lot of steps. More than 1,000 steps. Yeah. Somewhere. Yeah, they have the system of carrying you up also. I don't know if it's such a good idea to go. Prabhupada did when he went to Varshana. Last, it must have been the last time he went. It must have been around 1970. He came with his Western disciples. Later, a little later than that. And you can see the film of Prabhupada being carried up. Oh, I see. That'll become a big tourist attraction. Huh? Cable car. Then people will go just to ride on the cable car. They'll get darshan also. Then it'll become very commercialized. At the present, it's not at all commercialized. It's not that popular a holy place. That's one good thing. Actually, we see Sri Rangam, it's a major holy place. It's not there's no real commercial atmosphere, even Tirupati for that matter. It's more in North India that the holy places get more commercialized. It seems like that. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.